I would say that if you're, you know, within the first year or two in photography, the most important things that you should be doing right now is learning how to use your camera. And what do I mean by how to use your camera? I get it. There's an on-off switch. There's a shutter button. What really more do you need to know? I would suggest learning manual as fast as humanly possible. If you really want to take control of the photos that you want to take, you want to leave as little up to the camera as possible and capture it yourself. And the only way to do that is through shooting in manual. Hey, welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast. I'm your host, Raymond Hatfield, and today we are learning strategies for boosting our confidence behind the camera. But first, this episode is brought to you by CloudSpot, your all-in-one solution, not only to deliver and sell your images, but also run your whole growing photography business. You can grab your free forever account at deliverphotos.com and only upgrade when you're ready. Today we have an interview from the BPP Vault where we revisit our treasure trove of interviews to offer both new and longtime listeners a chance to uncover the powerful insights and practical tips to enhance your photography skills. Look, photography can be hard, I think, because it's so subjective, right? What you may love, others may not. And with our images being tied so tight to ourselves and who we are, this idea of someone not liking our images almost feels as if they're saying that they don't like us, which, you know, obviously we know is not true, but our brains can be jerks like that sometimes. And it's that fear of rejection while we're still learning photography and we're learning this tool and all that the camera can do. Well, that can hold us back from sharing our work or taking opportunities that will allow us to grow. So in today's episode, I'm going to break down some of the scariest moments that you may find yourself in as a photographer, those moments where you feel the least confident, and I'm going to share some strategies on how you can prepare so that you can show up and be your most confident self as a photographer. And today we're talking about something that I know has probably been on your mind at some point. I know that it's been on my mind several times before, much earlier in my photography. And it might even surprise you that even still to this day, I deal with this, but it is how to gain confidence when shooting, essentially. Photography is, you know, if you've been listening to the podcast for any length of time, you've heard me say that photography is a service. It is a service and it is not a product. So when you are faced with a situation where you have to perform something for somebody and do it, you know, with a smile on your face and provide good customer service, it can be kind of scary. You know, this is, If I stumbled upon something quite a while ago, but it's very relevant to this. It's called the Dunning-Kruger effect. And what the Dunning-Kruger effect is, well, let me pull it up on Wikipedia because I thought that it was extremely enlightening here. The Dunning-Kruger effect states that people with a low ability at a task overestimate their ability to perform that task. So imagine that you're looking at a chart here. There's an x-axis on the bottom. There's a y-axis that goes up. The x-axis is your confidence, and the y-axis is your actual knowledge of that skill. So in this case, photography, right? So when we're just getting started in photography, we think like, oh, I've been shooting, you know, point and shoots all my life. I know how to take a really good photo on my phone. I can do this. Like, I've seen some great photos. I've taken some great photos. And therefore, photography has got to be something that, you know, it's not rocket scientists. It's not rocket science. Like, I can do this. And that is when, you know, for one reason or another, whether it be the birth of your children or you have a trip coming up, you decide, like, that's the catalyst for you to buy a camera. So you buy that camera, you go out, and then you get the camera, and you think to yourself, like, I am great. This is awesome. I know exactly what I'm doing. And then you start taking those first few photos, and you realize, oh, no, I know nothing. I know nothing about this. And that's because as time goes on, your competency essentially goes down because you realize everything that you don't know about photography in this case. So in those situations, it can be hard to gain confidence in your abilities. I'll give you an example. This isn't specifically photography related. I'm sure that I could come up with one, but just thinking about this off the top of my head. When I was in film school, I was shooting a thesis for another classmate, and one of the actors, because I was one of only, I think it was three cinematography majors, so there really wasn't a lot of us going around. And one of the actors said, "Hey, you know, do you shoot on weekends? You know, I got this project coming up." And I thought to myself, like, yes, absolutely, I have to shoot this. Whatever it is, I'm definitely going to shoot this. And he proceeds to tell me that it is takes place in a house. It's like a domestic violence type thing. It's supposed to be empowering, but obviously it involves, you know, a domestic disturbance inside of the house that needs to be captured from like the point of view of the wife, I believe it was. So I was like, oh, yeah, easy. Oh, yeah, of course I can do this. Of course. You know, POV, you want to get a nice wide lens. You get real close to something. Looks like a point of view. Yeah, absolutely. I can do this for sure. And then I just realized I didn't ask enough questions. I didn't truly get the scope of what exactly we were shooting. So when I show up that day to this dude's apartment, it is a tiny apartment and there is one window and it is in a back bedroom, and I didn't bring any lights because, you know, what kind of an apartment doesn't have windows, I thought. So right away I realized, oh no, I'm not prepared for this. The lens that I brought was also, it was a wide angle lens, but its maximum aperture was f5.6. So it was a really slow lens. It needed a lot of light. So I was really counting on having the windows provide enough light into the scene. And long story short, I never heard from that guy ever again. I handed him the tape at the end of the day and I was like, yeah, let me know how it goes. Never heard from him again. And I think that he knew that I was not prepared for this and that I definitely bit off something larger than what I could chew, I guess, if that's the term. That didn't turn out terrible. It was kind of a bruise to my ego, of course, because I thought, you know, I'm really good at cinematography. I know all this stuff. I got the angles down. I got, you know, lighting. We're good. Like, I fully understand it, aperture, all that stuff. I get it. And then I showed up into a situation, totally bombed it, and felt leaving really, really bad about my technical abilities as a cinematographer. So that situation didn't end up terribly bad for me. It wasn't high stakes. It was kind of a favor that I was doing, I guess you could say. I was hoping to get my foot in the door. So again, low stakes. But when you have something like a family who reaches out to you and they're like, hey, we would love for you to photograph us. We've seen some of your photos, whether it be of your own kids or animals or nature, and we love them and we want you to do the same for us. That is where things start to get a little bit tricky. And even though you've done photography before and you've taken photos, now is the time where you realize, oh, wait, maybe I don't know as much as I think that I know, because all these questions start popping into your head. How many photos am I supposed to deliver? What type of poses do I do? You know, what website do I use to deliver photos? Shout out to CloudSpot, which is what I use to deliver my photos. But all point is, all these things pop into your head and you immediately realize, I really don't know as much as I thought that I did. And once again, that will give you a bruise to your confidence. And when it comes to shooting, as I said earlier, it is a service and not a product. And when you are feeling down about it, imagine if you went to go, get a massage, and the massage therapist just had a terrible day and they're kind of sad and they're like crying a little bit while they're, you know, rubbing your shoulders. Even if it's a really good massage, it still feels awkward. And that's not what you want to deliver to your clients. I'm not even going to bring up the topic of pricing, because that is a whole nother episode right there as far as, you know, confidence and figuring out where it is that you want to go. But when it comes to, you know, delivering the best that you can, I think it really comes down to three things. And that's what we're going to talk about today. That was a really roundabout way of getting to this point, but it comes down to preparation, planning, and practice. So these are all the things that we are going to talk about today so that you can gain that confidence that you want, that you need to show up to your next shoot and just rock it. And I want you to know that confidence is not the same as knowing everything. You can have a lot of confidence in something and not know anything. That's where the start of this Dunning-Kruger effect goes. So don't feel like at the end of this episode that you are going to know everything about photography or that, and that's how you gain confidence, because it's not. And also don't feel as if, as long as you have enough confidence, everything else is going to work itself out, because as you heard from my example, it's not. So let's go ahead and get on into these three things, right? Preparation, planning, and practice. So here's another example for you. I just want you to think about it like this, just to give you hope so that you can keep your eye on the prize for the end of this episode. We're going to talk about school. I remember every single first day of school I've ever had, I was so nervous. I didn't know who was going to be there in high school. I decided not to go the same path as literally all of my friends from middle school, and I went to a different high school, and I was just so nervous before I started school. The first day of school, sweating bullets, the whole first week of school. Oh my gosh, it is always rough, no matter, you know, how long I've been there or what, but, or, you know, how long I've been in that school or whatever. But at the end of that school year, you're walking into class late. You have a drink in your hand. You're not supposed to drink anything in class. You know, you're calling the teacher by their first name because you feel comfortable. You feel confident in the things that you can and can't do in that environment. And a year, a school year even, is a relatively short period of time. Now, granted, we do it every day. We go to school, you know, 5 days a week. Or maybe 4 days a week if you're like me, and just didn't want to go to certain classes. By the end of the school year, you're feeling much more confident about yourself. And I'm here to tell you that photography is exactly the same. Now you can kind of see where I was going with that job example. You know, first day of a new job, you're like, ugh, so many new people. I don't know what's going on. What are their standards here? What am I supposed to be doing? What if I fail? And, you know, a year into it, you're like training people. You're like, this is easy. Here, let's go. Like, let's make this happen. You gain that confidence over time. And photography is going to be exactly the same for you. Now, the hard part is there's no timeline for this. I can't say you've been shooting for 9 months and 13 days. You're confident enough to, you know, shoot X, Y, or Z. I can't say you've been shooting for 13 years. You know, you're good to go, because there are photographers like Vivian Maier. I believe that's her last name. Vivian Maier, perhaps. And if you don't know who she is, she was a street photographer. She was actually a nanny. So she took care of children. And in New York, I believe it was, maybe it was New Jersey. Don't quote me on that. Whenever she would go out with the kids, she would bring her camera and she would take photos. And it wasn't until, you know, I believe very close to her passing that her photos were uncovered, right? And shown off to the whole world. And everybody just realized, wow, like we had an artist living among us, like truly incredible photos. But you listen to her friends, because there was a documentary made about her. You listen to her friends, you listen to the people who, the children who she was nannying. They never saw any of her photographs, and they said that it came down to she was just really shy and she lacked the confidence in sharing them for fear of like what other people might say. And I mean, look at what happened. Fantastic things happened with her photographs. And unfortunately, it wasn't until the end of her life that, you know, they were discovered. She didn't get to see any of that. So confidence can really, really hold you back. You know, and where was it going with that? Oh, right. So you could be shooting for 13, 15, 20, 40 years. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have the confidence to go out and shoot whatever it is that you want. So this is why we got to work on these things. Again, let's go ahead and get on into this. The three things that we need to worry about to gain that confidence is preparation, planning, and practice. So let's talk about the prep work. Let me preface this by saying I'm not a doctor. I don't give out any medical advice, don't take any medical advice from me, but I have seen a lot of medical shows with my wife, and it seems like whenever there is some sort of life-threatening surgery or illness and they need to do surgery, there's a lot of time spent in the operating room getting everything ready. From the tools, and you know, everybody's got to wash up, of course. The anesthesiologist has got to come in and like do some calculations, and there's a lot of people, there's a lot of moving parts, and everybody needs to be on their A game, and they have to be like, again, not sure if this is true or not, but it seems like with how sterile an operating room needs to be, everything has to be in that room ready to go before an operation starts. Now, if there's any doctors listening to this podcast, please, and I'm wrong, please tell me. But it makes sense because you don't want to get in and say, oh my gosh, I had no idea that this could even be a thing here, and I don't have the right tools for it. So let's go ahead and sew them back up, and we'll go ahead and attack this later, maybe a month from now. You're going to plan for every possibility so that you can have all the tools ready. You're going to know what those tools do so that in the event that you're faced with a certain type of situation, you will be able to get the job done and you will be able to succeed. And that is what we need to do with our camera gear in the form of knowing our gear. That's it. Knowing your gear is one of the most important things that you can do as a photographer, right? Can you imagine a carpenter not knowing how to use a hammer? Like, it'd be a long day trying to hit, you know, a nail with a screwdriver or a level, you know, something like that. That'd be terrible. That would be terrible. Knowing your gear is so important to being able to grow your skills. So when it comes to photography, one thing that I love to do is just focusing on one area of growth. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, or you read the title and you thought to yourself, oh my God, I definitely need more confidence while I'm not shooting, there's a good chance that from that Dunning-Kruger graph, you're past the phase of, oh, I'm the best. I know exactly what I'm doing here. But you have now started to come down the slide, I guess, and realize, oh man, I do not know anywhere near as much as I thought that I did. So that means that we need to, first and foremost, practice more. Once you realize, oh, I really don't know as much as I thought that I did, you realize there is an entire world of photography gear and exercises and tutorials and all these things that can be done. All of them. Hey, Raymond here. If you're sometimes baffled by which camera settings to use, then I've got just the thing for you. My free guide, Picture Perfect Camera Settings. It's a fantastic starting point for anybody eager to understand the basics of camera settings in various shooting scenarios. And it's tailored to beginners who want to get out of auto mode, providing clear, easy-to-follow suggestions on where to start with your settings. So whether you're capturing a stunning landscape or a family portrait, Picture Perfect Camera Settings will help you to get off of automatic mode and explore the possibilities your camera offers. Remember, mastering photography settings is a journey, and this guide is your first step and the perfect resource to guide you towards finding the right settings for your style. So grab your copy today at perfectcamerasettings.com and start your journey to better photos. You know, different lenses, zooms, primes, aperture, bags, neutral density filters, all filters, editing, Lightroom, Capture One, you know, Photoshop. What's the difference between Lightroom and Photoshop? So many questions. And you realize I truly know nothing. I truly, truly know nothing. So one of my favorite things to do, and I think is one of the most effective ways to getting started in photography, is by simply focusing on one area at a time. And unfortunately, I cannot tell you what that area is going to be because, you know, you may have started photography last week and you think that you're the best and that you know it all. And to you, I don't know why you're listening to this. You should be going out and you should be shooting more. Or you're down the path and you've been doing it for a few years and, you know, maybe you're struggling with just certain types of edits. You know, maybe it's skin tones. I don't know. But knowing your gear is something that you're going to have to figure out. Where do I feel like I'm not 100% confident in my photography right now, and how can I improve that? How can I work on that? So let me preface this by saying there will always be something that you don't know about photography, but that doesn't mean just to start off at anything, right? I would say that if you're, you know, within the first year or two in photography, the most important things that you should be doing right now is learning how to use your camera. And what do I mean by how to use your camera? I get it. There's an on-off switch. There's a shutter button. What really more do you need to know? I would suggest learning manual as fast as humanly possible. Now, I did not do this. I believe that when I started in photography, I just got started in aperture priority. And aperture priority worked fine. It worked great. You know, you're still able to get good photos. And honestly, maybe if you're just a hobbyist and you just, you know, enjoy going out and, you know, getting higher quality versions of something that you would have just normally photographed with a cell phone, maybe aperture priority is right for you. But if you really want to take control of the photos that you want to take, you see an image in your head and you want to be able to capture that, you want to leave as little up to the camera as possible. You want to take control of your own destiny, for lack of a better term, and capture it yourself. And the only way to do that is through shooting in manual. Now, if you don't know, manual is taking full control of your camera's shutter speed, ISO, and your camera lens's aperture. When you control those three things, you have full control over how much light enters into your camera and how much light falls upon your sensor to expose your image. If you're not familiar with that, I believe the first episodes 4, 5, and 6 of the podcast, like right in the beginning, maybe it's 3, 4, and 5, were all about that, what's called the exposure triangle. So if you get a chance, or if you want to learn more about that, do that. Go back to the beginning, listen to those episodes. I still get emails to this day, 5, 6 years later, from people saying, I listened to that, truly transformed my understanding of how a camera works. So go ahead and start there. Because again, once you know what your settings actually do on your camera, and even though there's a million buttons, a million settings, those three are the only ones that you need to know to get started. And it's the only three settings that have been used to capture every photo ever. I'm serious, ever. There's no new fancy technology that is going to change that. It survived through, you know, tintypes, daguerreotypes, amber types, film, and even digital, because they're just basic scientific principles, and those are what you need to know to be able to excel in photography. So those things, knowing those things to the point to where you feel comfortable showing up in and shooting inside of a house versus being outdoors on a bright and sunny day, you know, being confident in your abilities to be able to capture a properly exposed image in any of those scenarios, then that will give you the confidence. They'll give you a lot of confidence in your photography and help propel you forward. Another thing is, if you go back and listen to episode 243 called How to Get to Know Your Camera, again, that's episode 243. So on that episode, I talked about three things, and that is, again, how to get to know your camera. The first thing that I recommend you doing is reading your manual. I cannot tell you how much you will learn about your camera by reading the manual. Seriously, just take an hour or so just to skim through it. That alone will be enough for you to be like, oh, wow, I didn't know this was a thing. Read it. Figure out how to do it. It's going to change your knowledge of your camera. Next thing is to spend just a few hours with your camera shooting. You know, try out all these new things that you are learning. Again, with the sole purpose of trying to find a use case for it, right? So my camera does like in-camera HDR up to 9 photos and or, you know, 6 photos or 3 photos, whatever it is. And you can bracket it up to 9 stops and they'll bring it all together and there's noise. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's great. But like at a wedding, I'll never use that. Honestly, I'll never use that. So that isn't a priority for me. So when you go through your manual, and I don't know, maybe do this once every other month, you know, your use cases might change over time, especially in the beginning. But just spend a few hours shooting. There's nothing better than actually spending time with your camera to gain that confidence on how to learn it. If you're only bringing out your camera when you have a special event, go on a trip, or, you know, something similar to that, then you're not going to be enjoying those occasions. You're going to be focused on, wait a second, what did I do last time to make my photo look like that? I can't remember. I know that there's all these buttons here, but which one was? And then you're going to be fumbling with that, and it's not going to be intuitive, and it's really going to, you're going to lose confidence in your abilities to shoot. And then last thing I said was, ask yourself why you feel limited. There's going to be times where you feel limited. I still feel this way today. And after every wedding, I do a post-action review, something like that. And essentially, I ask myself, what went well today? What did not go well today? And I do that both in terms of my interactions with my couple and the photography itself. So what didn't go well today? You know, for my last wedding, it was, geez, we had so many different light sources, It was very difficult to get it right in camera. And I really wanted to get it right in camera because that just speeds up my editing process. Now, of course, at the end of the day, because I shoot in RAW, I was able to, you know, fix these images in Lightroom and get a decent white balance and skin tones. But that is something that I want to, you know, be better at. You know, maybe I should have found a situation where I could have used flash more efficiently and then had a consistent light source. But these are the things that I need to ask myself, because then that's going to let me know exactly where I should focus my energy, rather than, oh, my camera has a cool HDR mode, let me figure out how to use that, even though I'll never use it in a practical setting, if that makes sense. So that is prep. Prep by learning your gear. Just figure it out. Spend time with your gear as much as possible. Even if you just pull out your camera once a day, take a photo of something random, doesn't matter. You're going to get in those reps and you're going to get better. So the next area that we are going to use to grow is through planning our shot. So we're going to go back to that example. We got asked from a family friend to capture their family and do family photographs. You think to yourself, I photographed my kids. I've photographed nature. I'm good to go. I don't need, you know, to learn anything about family photography. And you're dead wrong, because you're going to show up and you're going to think to yourself, how should I split the family here? Like, what side should they be on? Should they be looking at each other? Should they be looking at me? What should mom do with her hands? It looks weird. Should dad put his hands in his pockets? Thumbs in, thumbs out. What about the kid? You're going to have so many questions and you're not going to be prepared. So even though that was the last one, prepared, this one's all about planning. So what we want to do is envision the photos that we want to take and plan for the variables that we can control. Weather, you can't control. Where somebody puts their hands, we can control that. Posing is something that we can control. Knowing our cameras well enough to be able to get a creative effect is something that we can control. The mayor of your town photobomb your photos, or Tom Hanks or something like that. You can't control that. So don't plan for that. Just plan for the things that you can control. So one thing that I did very early on in my photography, in my wedding photography in particular, was that I wasn't very comfortable with posing. And I realized that I could watch a million and two YouTube videos all about posing, but the second that I get in person, I forget it all. Oh my gosh, this is the worst. So in an attempt to get better, I would plan out my sessions. I realized, wait a second, I don't need 47 different poses. I could probably get away with like five, and then just kind of change them up by having them look at each other, look at me, have him look at her, give her a kiss on the head, you know, just slight changes like that, and I can make it work. Okay, so I'm going to write down the five that I really want to work on, five that are a little bit different, five that are provide a good variety. And then from there, I can just kind of stretch them out a little bit and just have them interact with each other to get a better photo. awesome. So on the way to each of my sessions, what I would do is that I would physically say their name. In my car, I would turn off the radio, I would give myself some space to think, and I would, in my head, say, all right, Jane, I want you to get close to Grant here. I want you guys to bring your hips together, okay? And go ahead, just put your arms around each other's back. Grant, I'll just have you put your hand in your pocket. Jane, just go ahead and put your hand somewhere on Grant, wherever it feels most comfortable to you, all right? I'll have you guys just start off, just look at each other. Perfect. Take a photo of that. Jane, do you have a hip that you just kind of naturally put your weight on? Like if you're, say, you know, just waiting in line at the movies, like waiting to get in, do you like rest all your weight on one hip? Perfect. Just go ahead and do that here. Okay. All right. Now get a little bit closer to Grant. Again, look at him. Perfect. Take a photo. I'll have you two look right at me. Snap, snap. Great. All right. Grant, I want you to look at Jane. Perfect. Snap. All right. Now, Jane, I want you to look at Grant. Okay. Snap. Go ahead and kiss for me. Snap. Perfect. There's like 7 photos right there within just a few seconds. But saying those things out loud on my way to the shoot means I don't have to come up with it on the fly. Even though I've watched, you know, 13 hours worth of tutorials, I don't have to take all of that knowledge in that moment on the spot and create something with it. I can pretty much prepare in a much lower stress situation in the car so that when I get there, I'm much better prepared. And I've already said it with the couple's name so that there's no weirdness of like, and I feel really embarrassed to say this. I once had a wedding. I still don't know the bride's name. I still don't know. I don't know how to pronounce it. I felt terrible. So all day I would just say, okay, just go ahead and take your hand and yeah, put it on, you know, his chest. I'm not going to say his name just in case they're listening. But regardless, you want to be able to say their name because that is going to make somebody feel a lot more comfortable with you in front of the camera. Because when you say somebody's name, you have confidence in that. If I were to be like, hey, Jim, hey, Jim, I need you to do this for me. I'm not going to say that to a complete stranger. You know what I mean? So when you say somebody's name, it instantly builds some camaraderie and they will have more trust in you, which you'll be able to see it in your photos. And that's going to build confidence. So again, there are 2 ways to bring home more money with your photography business. You either get more clients or you spend less of the money that you make. CloudSpot Studio helps you keep more of what you earn. With the lowest payment processing fees in the industry, the average photographer will save $300 annually. And that's just more money to invest in essential gear like a new flash or a sweet camera bag. You know, one that is perfect for storing all of the wedding day snacks that you can pack. But it's not just about savings. CloudSpot Studio is designed to streamline your workflow. Easily organize shoots, send contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and you're really going to enjoy the hassle-free payments. So sign up for a free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com. And as a bonus, you're going to get access to my exclusive wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires at no additional cost. Why let fees chip away at your profits? Empower your photo journey with CloudSpot and watch your business soar. For planning, what I want you to do is find 5 or 6 poses that you like, and then imagine what you would say to get the couple in that position from just standing apart from each other or the family, you know, whatever it is. What would you say to them and use their names to get them into that spot? You will be amazed how much this will do for your confidence when you're there on location and you're actually shooting with them. You're going to be comfortable with their names. It's truly transformed the way that I shoot and the amount of confidence that I have while shooting as well. So do that. Do that. So those are all variables that you can control. Where they stand, how they look, where they place their hands, all those things, you know, control those, and then the rest will just fall into place. All right, so that brings us to the last thing here, which is to practice. And I know that it says, you know, to practice, and, you know, you can imagine what practicing is. But really, what is the point of practicing? The point of practicing is to get more comfortable with your camera. Okay. We kind of talked about that earlier with know your gear, with the preparation. But the real, what you want to do when practicing is get photos that are new and that are interesting so that you can get feedback. Getting feedback is one of the most important things that you can do with your photography, because I'll be honest, a lot of my photos, hate them. Just not a big fan. You know, I see them, I get it. I like them, whatever, but I also hate them. And that's because I'm very critical of my photos. You may feel the same way about your photography. You may feel the same way about, you know, other things in life. I don't know. But if that's the case and we hate all of our work, how do we grow? How do we grow? How do we get better? How do we focus on what is working and isn't working? The only way to do that is by asking others. Who are we going to ask? I'll tell you what, I'm not going to ask my wife. I'm not going to ask my mom, because they're both going to say, this is beautiful. I love it. You're the best. High fives all around. And then I'm just going to feel great regardless of the actual quality of the images. So therefore, you have to find a place to get honest feedback. And whether that be somebody who you admire, a photography mentor, or it's just in a photography Facebook group, I selfishly would recommend the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook community to share your photos and get feedback. But that's just because I know that it's a very safe place to be able to share your photos without having to worry about, oh my gosh, I guess somebody going to get mad at me because this is my first, you know, week in photography. Are they going to think that I'm stupid? Are they going to, you know, whatever. You're not going to have to worry about any of that. But getting real constructive feedback on how to improve your images is always important. And it's something that even the top pros still seek out today. I remember interviewing Andy Bernstein on the podcast, famous sports photographer, basketball. And he is good friends with John Suhu, who is the photographer for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And they would talk about, you know, they kind of came up together. Andy gave John his first gig with the Dodgers. And still to this day, more than 30 years later, 35 years later, they still send each other photos and get feedback on them together. And I thought, man, if here you both are, Andy's at the top of his game in the world of basketball. John is at the top of the world for, you know, being the Dodgers lead photographer for, you know, 30 plus years. And they're still seeking feedback on their images because they constantly want to get better. They know that that's the only way that you can improve upon your work. So if you get constructive criticism, remember, it is not about you, especially if you're just getting started. If you're just getting started in photography, you don't have a voice yet. You don't know what you're trying to say. All that you can do is try. With every photo, try and get just a little bit closer. So when you get constructive criticism, realize that it's not about you and it's not about your ability to communicate what you wanted to say. It is about just the effectiveness of the photo from somebody else's perspective. There's times where at a wedding, I think, oh my gosh, this shot is gold. You know, the uncle just spilled the drink and I turn the camera around and the couple, they're laughing. They think it's hilarious. And then I'll show it to my wife and she'd be like, oh, that's a good photo of people laughing. But like, I don't know why. And I think, dang it. Dang it. I should have, like, next time I'm going to, you know, get the uncle in the foreground with the, you know, the wet drink or like the wet stain on a shirt with the couple laughing in the background. That is how you get better. That's it. It's the only way. So let's break these down again. All right. Three best ways that I have found to gain confidence in your photography is preparation by knowing your gear, right? Prep your gear. Know it inside and out. When you're confident with your gear and how it works, you're not going to have to stumble around while shooting. That inspires confidence. Next is to plan. Plan your shoot. As I said, for me, one thing that I love to do is plan out, the words that I'm going to say to my couples to get them into the right poses. You may struggle more with certain settings. Start looking at the works of other photographers. Ask yourself, what was the shutter speed here? If you're doing landscape work, oh, was this a slow shutter speed? Is this a multi-exposures? Was this an HDR right here? Ask yourself those questions so that when you show up and you get into a situation, you already have a head start on what your settings should be and how you're going to capture that. And lastly, practice as much as you can so that you can get as much feedback as possible. Because feedback is going to tell you everything that you need to know about your own work. And if you are being paid to photograph something for somebody, get their feedback. Man, I'll tell you what, that is the hardest thing to do. And that was so difficult for me to do in the beginning. I thought, yeah, I know that they said that they liked it, but what if I asked them to leave a review and they're like, actually, Raymond, we hate it. This is terrible. Why did we ever hire you? We should have hired somebody who cost half the price, right? All these things, all these insecurities that we have, ask them for feedback. Ultimately, when you're working for a client, your own artistic vision has to take a bit of a backseat to what it is that they need and what it is that they want. So get their feedback. If they say, this photo is great, we love it, then fantastic. That will boost your confidence. Nothing will boost your confidence more than that, I promise. But if they say, this photo is great, but we really wish that, you know, maybe the editing was a little bit lighter. Or maybe it was a little bit of a slower shutter speed because the attention was taken away from the main subject. Oh, okay. I get it now. Okay, cool. So if I want to bring my attention towards the subject, this is something that I do. Okay. And that's it. That's it. That is how you do it. Remember, this takes time. This is not something that is going to happen tomorrow. I told you at the beginning of this, you're not going to be a better photographer today because you listened to this episode. What will make you a better photographer today is to do those things that we talked about. To prep, to get to know your gear, to plan what it is that you're going to shoot and how you're going to shoot, and then to practice and get feedback on your work, and then do it all over again. That is the only way. And remember, that you're awesome. The fact that you are listening to this podcast right now tells me that there's enough about photography that you truly want to learn, that you take this seriously. This isn't something that is just a random hobby for you. You want photography to play some role in your life, and you're taking it seriously. And that is awesome. So take that feeling to your next shoot and know that. Own that. Own it. I am taking photography seriously. I'm not just here to snap a couple of snapshots. I really, really want to make the best image that I can. And you'll have all of the confidence in the world. I really hope that you enjoyed today's episode. I want to invite you to share your biggest takeaway in the free and private beginner photography podcast community, where you can connect with myself and others, along with share your ideas and even ask questions. So come join us over at beginnerphotopod.com/group. Come let us know what you are going to be implementing into your photography. That is it for today. Until next week, remember, the more that you shoot today, the better of a photographer you will be tomorrow. Talk soon.
Thank you for listening to the Beginner Photography Podcast. Keep shooting, and we'll see you next week.